dear believers, assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salat.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Ahmaduhu Wasta'inuhu Wasta'dihi Wasta'firahu. Ashhadu la ilaha illahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala kareem al-muslimin Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise due to the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise due to Allah. I praise Him. I seek His assistance and I seek His guidance and I ask for His forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad, the present peace be upon him, is His servant and His messenger. All praise due to Allah. We ask Allah's peace and blessings be on the best among the prophets, Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge of Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear and later revealed in the last ayah. This day I have completed for you your way of life and completed my blessing and my favor upon you and chose al-Islam as your way of life. All praise due to Allah who united the hearts of the believers with al-Islam and has made it an obligation to remain united and made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. I advise myself first, as well as I advise you to have regard, consciousness, awareness, taqwa, for Allah the Most High, and obey Him. Dear Muslim believers, I greet you again. Assalamu alaikum. Jumma Mubarak. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alam yani lillah. Dina liladina amanu an taksha'a kulubuhum min dhikri Allahi wa ma nazala min al-haqqi wala yahkubu Kubu Kunu Yahkunu Gathina Uku Utul Kitaba Min Kablu Fatala Alehim Alehimul La Madu Fakasat Kalubuhum Wa Kathirum Minhum Fasikun. We say Salakallahu Deen. The expression is as follows: has not the time come for those who seek refuge of Allah against the shaitan, the rejected? Has not time come for those who believe that their hearts should become humbly submissive at the remembrance of Allah and what has come down of the truth? And let them not be like those who were given the scripture before, and the long period passed over them, so their hearts hardened, and many of them are defiantly disobedient. This is Surah Al-Hadid 57, the 16th ayah, and surely Allah speaks the truth. Today's khutbah title, has not the time come, has not the time come. In the reported hadith from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, who reported that the messenger of Allah, the peace and blessed be upon him, said, the hour will not be established until time passes rapidly, such that a year is like a month is like a week, and a week is like a day is like an hour, and an hour is like the flicker of a flame. It's not up. Oh, okay. You're shaking your head. I thought it wasn't loud enough. So as we begin with this presentation, inshallah, I believe this is the last installment on this. Really, I want us to really be grounded and settled into the fact that, what Allah is really, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is really questioning us for a reason of us being able to question ourselves. But Allah would not just bring things up without giving us something to see and understand from it. And what I mean by see is something that we can learn from. And I want to look briefly, really look at the progression based on the fact that time is an issue. Time is an issue. See, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Hadith Qudsi that Allah said, the sons of Adam abuse time, and I am time, and in my hand is the night and the day. If we can understand that the human being has a tendency to disregard time from the standpoint of being critical of it. We always think we don't have enough time in the day to do what we need to do. But the fact is, Allah set the time for the day. In His control is the night and the day, and if God gave us 24 hours, then that's what we have to work with. We also take it for granted, and we think sometimes that we have all the time in the world. Or sometimes we waste it like it's not more precious than anything else that we've been given. So what happens is time does not become the only thing to suffer, but what we can do with the time also suffers. This is why we are told by Allah that the time has come for those who believe us, that time to believe so much that their hearts become submissive. And over that time, they become accepting of what Allah has and what Allah is. And this is done by the remembrance of Allah and by accepting the truth that Allah is and Allah has revealed and what Allah has done. And then Allah says, "Wala yakunu," and let them not be like. Now here is Allah again in my thoughts going to give us the alternative, going to give us something else, give us something the consequences. The you have to have both sides. And He connects it with the wala is the end, and the conjunction, and the la is the not, the negative particle. Let them not be like. Allah has given us what we should be like. And then He says, okay, for those who might not get that, then here comes who you should not be like. don't do this. Well, if you do believe, if that belief turns your hearts to be submissive and remembering of me and what I have sent down the truth, if you do that, then you also don't be like those who came before you. Allah says those who were given the scripture before. So if we understand the Quran was given to be the last revelation. But it was also given to be the new revelation from God. It was the last revelation, but it is also the new revelation, meaning that there were revelations before it, but for me, for us, this is the new revelation. And I never personally was into the Bible and studied it from and adhered to it from a standpoint that I based my life on it. And I'm not disrespecting that, you know, no disrespect intended, but I'm just pointing out that for those who were given the scripture before, and it was more than just that, scripture before, are those who it has been revealed to, and yet there are those that did not believe or believe enough that they could condition their hearts to be in that right state that recognizes their role as a servant to God and remembers God and accept God for what he has given. And I'm not saying those where they were disbelievers, because Allah does not call them that. Allah does not say that in this ayat. What is evident is that those who do not do what has been stated tend to end up like these types who he has given something of this magnitude before. This is the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no small thing. And if he is giving it now, again, why is he giving it? Why is he giving it? Why did Allah continue to send down revelation until the course, the final revelation, the Quran? Why did Allah have to continue to send prophets, alayhi salam, to the prophets, to mankind, until he sent the final prophet, the seal of the prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because mankind must get themselves into situations that they do not realize that what time it is. Imam once said, he said, man gets off track. And when he said that, I thought about it and I said, okay, so if man gets off track, if that happens now, he's not going to send another prophet now. He's not sending another Quran now, but he's already sent it. So this is designed for us to get back on track with. So when man gets himself into situations, what time they have, they don't realize, and they end up needing some help. They need some guidance. They need something to bring them back to the way that is best. And Allah says throughout the Quran that this is a reminder. This is a reminder. Why is Allah reminding us? Because there are those who were given the scripture before, and a long period passed over them, and their hearts hardened. Allah is setting the barriers for us who read this final revelation to try to know and understand that if you do not realize the time has come for each of us right now, because this is the last chance. We understand and we believe that we're going to get another situation, but we're not told we're going to get another chance. Allah says all through the Quran that there are those that said, well, send me back. Now I see what you was talking about. Now I see what they were saying. But he doesn't give them the second chance. So that's telling us you don't get a second chance at this. This is the last chance. This is the last book. This is the last prophet. The prayers peace upon him, be upon him. And if you do not do these things, then you will end up like those who were given the scripture before. And this before is kablu. It means before, but it also comes from the same word that we get Qibla from, our direction, our orientation. So those who were given the books before were given their orientation before. So the revelation has come to us to give us our orientation. You know, before you start a job, they have you come in, they give you orientation to get you up to speed on what you'll be doing and how you have to do it, on how things are run. So the revelation of God does the same thing in the sense of our lives. That is what the revelation has come to do. Bismillahi al-Rahman al-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Has not the time come? We have been given something. We have been given something. It's nazala. It means given. But it also means a gift. And I don't know about you, but for me, what I was going through inside of my soul at the time of being guided to Allah's way of life and Allah's words, the way of life that He has perfected and chosen for us is a gift, in my opinion. It's a gift, in my opinion. God has decided for us what our orientation should be. Regardless of what faith a person believes, and we should all believe that this is a gift. It is a blessing, because there is no direction in our lives until God gives us that direction. So the books that were given were for the orientation of their lives. And just like for us, we have to get ourselves in the right order. We have to get ourselves in the right order. That's belief, that's submission, that's remembrance. And then there's more belief even after that. And once we have that, then we need not be like those who were given this before and given their order before, and they were given the word before, and they were given direction for their lives, and over time they lost that orientation for their lives. The abuse of time that they abused the time that they had, and this is what we're being told, that if we abuse time just like those who were before us, then we will over time end up just like them. And when we look up at this, yes, we look at it from an individual standpoint, but we also have to look at it from a community standpoint. If we look at it and over time we have not used it in the best way, then we can see what happens. This is why we have to not only use time well by ourselves, but we have to use time well when we're together. So this over time, Amadu. The first word for time in the ayat was Yanni. So Yanni means time, but it also means to become ripe. It means to mature. It means to bide one's time. It means to be patient. So for us, it means that we need to manage our time better, use our time better, work on ourselves with the thought process of what? What does Allah tell us about that type of thought process over time? Allah alone caused us to grow. Allah caused us to grow from the plant like from the earth like a plant. So over time we mature. Over time we develop. That's the time in the first time. Now the second word in the ayah for time, Amadu, it means time, but also means a term. It also means a term. It's a distant point. This time, because Allah says over time, so over time it becomes a term. Over a term, they allowed their hearts to harden. That was the results. Hearts do not get hardened overnight. No, it takes time. The Prophet, the peace be upon him, said, reported to have said, in the body is a morsel of flesh, which is, if sound, all the body is sound, which if disease, all of it is disease. And this part of the body is the heart. For us to realize that this means, let us look at it in both ways, concrete and abstract. So when the heart, in medical terms, gets hard, not the arteries, but the heart can get hard. It means blood is going to be harder to pump through it, through the body. And then eventually the body starts to retain water. And the first things to show it will be in the legs and in the lungs. That's the physical effect of it. Now, the water is bad for the system if it's not flushed out, meaning that too much, now go backtrack, too much emotions doesn't allow the body to function properly. That water has to become off of you. And when we looked at this last week in the presentation, I presented that faith is the blood in our bodies. And we cannot, if we cannot pump the blood through our body, the body starts to decline. We want to have more faith than the emotions. The blood is the same thing as faith. Our faith keeps the heart working. When the faith declines, then the heart hardens. And then the body suffers. Musa alayhi salam, he went to Pharaoh. He went to Pharaoh. And we know that he is an example of a heart hardening. But we think of because he was an unbeliever. Yes, he was. But he is also a sign for us to see. Pharaoh thought highly of himself. He denied the truth. He denied any remembrance of a real creator. And one of my favorite lines in, it might be the favorite, well, not second favorite line in the Ten Commandments, is when he denied to be submissive. He was told to obey. And he replied, obey? Obey who? Obey what? It was beneath him to obey. Allah says in Surah 18, and do not obey those whose hearts we have made heedless of our remembrance, who follow only their desires and whose state is a total loss. And when we were reading this morning, because we still read every Friday, we still read Surah Al-Kahf every Friday on the call-in, and when we was reading, and I knew I had this note in this ayat in my notes, but the ayat that comes right behind, Allah says, say, the truth is from your Lord, let him who will believe and let him who will reject it. Let him who will believe and let him who will reject it. See, the Pharaoh is a sign about our internal leadership. We all have something inside of us that calls the shots. And when we allow that nafs to become oppressive of the natural nature that we have, then we have now let loose the Pharaoh in us. And we also have to look at the Pharaoh in terms of humankind. It's another mindset that we're being warned about. Allah is telling us that when we over time do not work on ourselves, do not increase our faith, do not increase our submission to God, do not increase how we remember him, what happens ends up, we just become just like those who received the books before us. And we end up with a hardened heart, just like Pharaoh, who thought so highly of himself that he didn't need it. Build me a tower up so I can see this God of Moses. When you forget the gift that God has given you, your heart will become hard. When you think you have all the time ahead of you and you can do it later or not do it at all, your heart will become hardened. See, we're being admonished to learn from this, to learn from this. There's a lesson in this. And in a fable from Aesop, there was a traveler who hired a donkey to take him somewhere real far. And as they were traveling, it got real hot and the sun was shining right at his apex. And so the traveler wanted to stop to rest and he sought to seek the shelter of the shadow of the donkey. Now this afforded, you know, it could only be one person to get in the shadow. We ain't talking about an elephant, we're talking about a donkey. So the owner of the donkey and the traveler got to arguing about who should get the shadow and get out the sun. And so the next thing you know, they got to arguing so bad, they got to fight. The owner said, well, I own the donkey. This is my shadow. The traveler said, well, I paid for the donkey to take me somewhere. I paid for the shadow as well. And so they got to fighting. And while they was fighting,
The next thing you know, the donkey then galloped away. The moral of the story is, in quarreling about the shadow, we often lose the substance. See, sometimes we can get so caught up, we forget about, that the substance is the time that we have. We get so worried about everything else that we don't realize that we've only got this time. And we forget the substance of what this time means for us right now. We often worry about the shadows that we lose the time we have to do what it is that God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says we should be doing. And when we look at it, just like that donkey left the two fighting over nothing, we look at it and we've lost the whole thing. This happens when over time we end up with hardened hearts. When we've wasted our time, we have lost what could have been that most important gift that we ever got. And I say it could have been the most important because we do not get to realize the gift, because then it's only potential. We have to learn from the traveler and the owner that let us not get caught up in what doesn't matter and lose what does. This way of life matters. There is so much that we sometimes make so big that it is not important, not the important part of what we should focus on. But in doing that and even avoiding that, we lose the point of what is important. What we have to do, what we have to work is to avoid, to not miss the point that we do what we're supposed to do. And if we end up not doing that, then over time, our hearts will become hardened. Why? Because we have not done what is necessary to condition it. Remember, the physical condition, that once there's a condition in your body and the heart starts hardening, the blood does not flow through. See, the heart is there to be conditioned. Now, yes, it can be cold. It can be warm. It could be big, it could be small. Imam Muhammad, right in line where he said that the heart is capable of responding intelligently. But some hearts are foolish. He said, how come? They are tricked. They are deceived. They are hoodwinked. They are influenced out of their normal responses. The heart is not an arrogant piece of flesh. The heart is an intelligent piece of flesh. It doesn't have to have book knowledge. It doesn't have to go to college. The only thing it has to do is stay real. Stay natural. He said, stay real, and that heart can deal intelligently with matter. See, our hearts know what's right, and they know what's wrong. Allah has told us that in the Quran. It is the doorway to the brain, the doorway to God. Right, we've been taught that. It will respond to things, as the Imam said, intelligently. Nobody ever says, I got a dumb heart. No, but they'll say, well, I made a bad decision. I got a dumb brain. See, your heart can feel something and know something, and it will be the brain that makes the bad decision. And we say, I knew in my heart I shouldn't have did that. I knew in my heart I shouldn't have trusted that person. I knew in my heart. But it was your brain that allowed it to happen. These are signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart will respond to what God has for it because we have been given the intelligence. It is inside of it. But yet some hearts are foolish. And this happens because it is allowed not to trust what we have that would guard it, that would help guard itself. What guards our hearts, our souls, is faith in Allah, submitting to Allah, being mindful of Allah, accepting the truth that Allah has sent down to us, what He has given us. Now, if we look at the fact that the Quran has been given, the scripture for mankind to live the best life, the best way, the heart can be deceived. We understand that. That's what we're taught by what Shaitan has done to Adam, alayhi salam. It can't be deceived. Adam, alayhi salam, was deceived. The heart was taken out of his natural order. The original nature that is what has to be brought back. That's why we have to return back to that original nature. The heart still inside of I'm going to go back to the quote from the Imam Muhammad. The heart is an intelligent piece of flesh. And when it is not corrupted, it does not need anything but what is natural. When the heart is not corrupted, it doesn't need anything but what is natural. That's taqwa. That's obedience. That's being Muslim. If you do that, then your heart is in the right place to be in, to be the best piece of flesh of the body. And then it is going to perform to its capabilities. This is why we have the tradition of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'm not going to debate it. I'm just looking at it and I want to pull something from it. They say as a child, the angels came down and they laid him down and they took his heart out and they took the blemish off his heart. Why do we have this in tradition? We have been given this to us because the Prophet, the peace be upon him, had to have the ability to put the whole weight of the world on his heart. And our heart, we feel. If you really feel something, you feel it in your heart. How can you feel how you feel about someone comes in your chest? We could be cordial, not have any issues with somebody, and still not feel for them in our hearts. But then you can have that love, that feeling when we have allowed what Allah has given us to bring us back to that nature, then we feel good about seeing someone. We feel good about being somewhere. We feel good about talking to them. And if we get like that, if we can get like that for Al-Islam, get like that for the month of the Ramadan, get like that for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, get like that for the Quran, then we can reduce the chances of our hearts being hardened. You know, a couple of months ago, I did a khutbah for our community in Birmingham on the phone, and I called it Fighting Heart Disease. Fighting Heart Disease. See, Allah has given us the cure for heart disease. It is belief, submission, remembrance, and acceptance. And as I close, brothers and sisters, has not the time come for us who have believed that submissive becomes our hearts to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what has been sent down of the truth, and that we do not be like those who received the books with the orientation of their lives, and over time their hearts got hard and they became divinely disobedient. This is how the end of the ayat says. Allah's telling us that they ended up being divinely disobedient. The time has come and the time is here. Right? We have the urgency of now. The Prophet, the prayers of peace be upon him, said, is reported to have said, the hour will not be. Let me make sure I say this. This is important. The hour will not be established until time passes rapidly. A year will be like a month will be like a week will be like a day will be like an hour will be like the flicker of a flame. Now, if we think about that, and I did when I made the note, because it just seems like yesterday I was up here last Friday doing Jumu'ah. It really does. It just seems like we were just in January. It just seems like, you know, it does. It just seems like when I took my shahada. It does. That's how. So if we're wanting to know, well, when is the end? You're in the end. And Allah says, and they ask you about saying, rest with Allah. But here it is. When it's starting to seem like it's going like that, it is. Has not the time come for us? Now, inshallah, give us the benefit of the day, which all praise is due to Allah. May we have pleased Allah with this effort. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka as-sami'u al-alim. O our sustainer, accept this thou from us, for thou verily art alone, all hearing and all knowing. Ameen.